Welcome into the Green Zone post-game show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson, once again, your panel on a Friday night in which the Winnipeg Blue Bombers went perfect from in the red zone, 5 for 5, 5 touchdowns and a 45-27 win over the Rough Riders. And there is a lot to unpack when it comes to the Riders and the Bombers tonight. You can help us at 1-877-332-8255. That is the fan line. It is open now here on the Green Zone post-game show as the duel between Zach Collaros and Trevor Harris saw Zach Collaros threw 2 touchdown passes for 292 yards. Drew Brown plunged in twice. Collaros ran in once as well. Trevor Harris, 428 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. All 3 to Sam Emilis, the Rider receiver. 3 Rider receivers went over 100 yards tonight. So much for a defensive slugfest, Daryl Davis.
And so much for the injured quarterback, too. Hey, Jamie? He looked pretty good, but the Riders, a couple of mistakes. A penalty here, not being able to run, the 90-yard punt return. You just can't make a mistake against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. They capitalize immediately, as Jamie pointed out. 5 times they're in the red zone, 5 times they come away with a touchdown, and you cannot allow that to happen. They were so good defensively, the Rough Riders were last week, right? Mm-hmm. They stopped everything inside the red zone, but this week they just couldn't. It's a whole different level of football, and they found out that what it takes to make it to the Grey Cup.
Belton Johnson, what did you think?
The Bombers are a great team. No ifs, and buts about it. I don't even think there's a team even sniffing on them right now. And I'm with Daryl. The defense last week, they played lights out, amazing against maybe a middle of the pack team in the Elks. And today, I saw zero pressure, no pressure hardly at all on the Bombers. And I hate blaming refs for anything, but it was a couple questionable
pass interference calls.
It was there because there was one, I can't remember which one. It was a deflection, I thought.
Yeah.
And they called pass interference. I'm like, well, the ball was deflected.
In the fourth quarter, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there like, challenge it.
Well, you saw the players looking at Craig.
Oh. They were mad at him for not challenging.
I was mad because I'm sitting there. I'm waiting on him to throw this red freaking flag, and he did not do it. And
One in the end zone, too, that they could have, right?
Yes.
Put the ball on the 1-yard line that seemed to be a chintzy call. So, you're right. I'm pretty easy on the referees usually, but tonight there were some strange calls, strange reviews. We have re-examined every block.
Oh, my God.
And the punt return will stand. Every block they do.
Okay. That would tee me off right there because, why even? I can't, Jamie. It's just.
I just can't believe that they allowed the ref to stand next to Mike O'Shea while they looked at the iPad before he decided to call that a challenge on the punt return.
God,
I'm like, what's going on right now?
I thought you guys liked video review.
Walk over there and say, are you challenging it? Yes or no? Not. Can you give me a sec while I look at the iPad with my assistant coach here? Yeah, we'll challenge. Come on.
Isn't video review wonderful? I just think it helps the game so much.
It's about time you joined the club.
Yeah, no video review ever in any sport. And that proves again why it's stupid.
1-877-332-8255. One line remains open. Rider Nation wants to chat. Caden, get us started. What do you think?
Hey, gentlemen. First off, just want to say sorry if you guys hear any noises outside on the other side of the phone. I'm just leaving the game here. But I have nothing but good things to say about that offense. They played tremendous, especially that Sam Emilis guy, or as he calls himself, Sam Himilis. He might as well be Sam Himilis because he was him tonight. 3 touchdowns. Tevin Jones, I keep telling everybody I know that guy is underrated. He played a really, really good game tonight. The defense, they didn't do half bad themselves. I mean, you're going up against some really good receivers on that offensive side of the ball for Winnipeg, like Dalton Shane and Old Tarski and everybody there. So, I mean, what are you going to do? At the end of the game, I really have to comment on that DPI. You have to challenge that. Dickinson just that loss, you know, that could have turned over the loss to a win for us. Like, honestly, that's a challenge flag you have to throw late in the game. But yeah, that's all I have for you guys today, gentlemen. Overall, really good game and very well disciplined that the Riders were today.
Caden, thanks for getting us started tonight on the Green Zone post-game show on his thoughts on the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. I mean, what were the penalties tonight? Sorry. That is something that really hasn't...
There were penalties, Jamie. Lots of yards.
Well, because there were PIs, right?
Yeah. Penalties, man.
Six penalties for 30 yards?
What? No.
Well, I don't.
Do you trust
the CFL website? Let's wait. We're gonna wait on that penalty. 1-877-332-8255. Al, you're up next. What are you thinking tonight?
Well, the Bombers are pretty tough. I'm pretty happy with our offense and that. But before I get into that, I want to give a welcome home to a couple of UR boys, one who I have family here in my little town of about 50 people. He didn't get to play, but he was a pick this year. Tanner Schmeckel played for U of R. His grandpa, uncle are my neighbors here, and they had their turn from green to blue. it's nice our little town has some representative there. Hopefully someday he'll make the lineup, but with that Bomber defense, it's going to be tough. But I'm pretty happy for my neighbors here to have someone they can cheer for. And, Harris, it's just, even though they lost, it's so refreshing to see those balls come out fast, crisp, clean. He's not twisting and turning and looking the other way like our old Cody there. It's just those Bombers are too good. Claris is, and his receivers, it's unbelievable. And as far as the penalties, well, pretty tough here or there, but I think they did well. I think against other teams they're going to do well.
Well, that's just it, Al. Right, Belton?
Absolutely. And I know it was a loss, but I'm like, man, the Riders, they might be the second best team in the West. Just, you know, yeah, BC's up there right now, but the Elks,
I'll talk to you July 22nd.
The Stamps, really? Like, no, they're going to beat the Stamps. They'll beat the Elks. BC, they might be neck and neck there. But, yeah, the Bombers, they're like, they're millennial ahead. Like,
we'll see how they match up Labor Day. They'll need the extra, what is that, eight games between now and then to figure some things out against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers for Labor Day. I don't believe in moral victories. You can't really
go, it's a moral victory.
No, this is a loss, and it was a 45-27 loss, and the defense couldn't stop anything at times, especially in the red zone.
Well, and the thing that gets me, when they did have the Bombers, you know, like third and long or something, is it me or were the Bombers not attacking the middle of the field every time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, that little, maybe it was Sean or something coming and running a drag route or almost a slant right in the freaking middle of the field every time. And what happened to Dalkey?
He must have got hurt.
He didn't play the second half.
Well, I was just like the fear, right? Like there was zero fear going through that middle at all. And
Onyeka was way back.
Lukombo. Oh, sorry. Yeah, 21. Yeah,
Lukombo. Yeah, sorry, my bad.
And he was playing back. Attack him, man. Mm-hmm. Attack.
1-877-332-8255. We say goodnight to Al. That means one line is opened up as it's a busy one. Sean, you're up next. What do you got for us?
Well, every time I try to give Coach Dickey the benefit of the doubt, he pulls a bonehead move, like on that PI, and not throw the flag. If he threw the flag, it could have broke their momentum. Even though if the call went against us, it would have still broke their momentum. Trevor Harris, he's the real deal. Our offensive coordinator he calls a good game. And Jason Shivers, he will figure out the defense. He'll work those guys, and he'll figure it out. This is a breath of fresh air this year. versus last year with the Riders.
Except for the head coach.
Except for the head coach. He has a bonehead move all the time. Throw the flag.
Sean, thanks for the call. I think Dickinson might get a little heat tonight.
He should get some heat tonight, man. Throw that freaking flag. Even the players looking at him, man. Throw the flag. I sat there in the stands like, he's going to throw the flag. He's got to throw the flag.
Okay. Did he grab it? I didn't see he grabbed it.
Well, he took it out of his pocket, and then he put it back in.
Okay. Why? Why, James?
Well, he saw the replay, and he probably saw that the contact was made before the tip.
LeCombo hit him before Williams touched the ball. That's true. So,
but
at that stage, try it though. You have to, right?
Well, if they're gonna call a no blocks or
forever and ever,
all 90 yards, no blocks all the way through.
Oh my goodness!
If you're getting a busy signal, I can tell you a line just opened up as we say goodnight to Sean at 1-877-332-8255. Greg, you're up next. What do you got for us?
Jamie, Belton, I love you guys. Jamie, you're awesome. Belton, you leave me salivating every time you describe your recipe. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. And, you know, a lot of things to love tonight. Trevor Harris looking fantastic. Offense looking good, even missing some receivers. But my concern is, like the last caller, the head coach. I have great concerns. You know, with 8 minutes left in the football game, we're down by 14 points. We have third down on the 11-yard line against, like, basically two out of the three last year's Grey Cup champs. Probably should have been three out of three. And we kick a field goal. Let's go for that. Let's go for that. Let's get it to a 7-point game. We go out, we kick the field goal. Now we're down by 11 points. And we kick off and give them the ball at the 50-yard line. And we haven't stopped them in the second half once. They go down and end the football game. Like, can we not go for it on third down at the 11-yard line? You got to throw caution to the wind against a team this good. What are we doing?
Hallelujah, amen, Greg. Thank you very much. Simple math. Simple math. This isn't hard. You kick a field goal, you're down by 11. Yep. You're down by two possessions. If they go down the field and score a touchdown, which they did, guess what? They're up by three possessions. If you don't kick the field goal and you don't get the touchdown, you're still only down by two possessions. And if they score a touchdown, you're still down by three possessions. Yeah. There was no need to kick the field goal. You score the touchdown, it's a one-possession game now. It makes a world of difference in that scenario. Greg, Daryl was in the car with me. I was saying it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go for it.
Yep.
Go for it.
Yep.
But they didn't.
Kick the field goal.
Some weird calls. He overcoaches, undercoaches. It's always a weird decision, it seems like.
And the field position. And yes. Trevor Harris said it last week. If you kick a field goal at like the 5-yard line, then you're giving them the ball way back. Now, I know they have 35. To do a kickoff now, but the kickoff's further back. So it's about almost 30, 40 yards of field position you're giving up by kicking the field goal rather than trying to score a touchdown late in the game to make it a 7-point game. Instead, it's an 11-point game, but you're still down by two possessions. It's just things you need to think about and execute. That's the one thing that drives me berserk about Craig Dickinson.
You and a few of our callers. Oh, Will Dallas calls in.
Well, the line just opened up as we go from one Greg to another Greg a little further out in Victoria. Greg, go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for the opportunity to chat. Couple of things. I think most of the stuff I was going to say has already been covered, but I don't know if you guys picked up on this when that phantom blocking call was overturned. The Riders had an injury there, which forced the network to go to commercial, and then it allowed the Bombers to dissect the play and talk to everybody and say, "Well, I wasn't there. And then they had a chance to talk to the refs about it. If the Ryder guy wouldn't have been hurt there, I think the Riders would have taken over that play, and they wouldn't have thrown the challenge flag. And I just think it's just a bit of bad luck that happened there when that gave the Bombers a little time to kind of dissect things and then throw the challenge flag, right?
And to haul out their iPad and take a closer look at it.
Well, exactly. Right.
Yeah.
But I just think a couple of really encouraging signs. I just think that the offense looks so much more confident this year. Mm-hmm. Under Harris, and you know, sure, he missed a few throws. Maybe he still got a few mothballs from the off season. Let's hope he turns that around. But no one's talked about the offensive line. I know the Riders couldn't run tonight, but at least he had fairly decent pass protection, which obviously makes a huge difference as well. And I just think with three good receivers out, I think the receiving corps looked really good tonight as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just think, they've got some stuff to work on. I think, obviously, it's early in the season. Losing to the Bombers isn't a bad thing early on. They know what the yardstick is that they need to measure themselves against.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's some stuff to build on. So, I'm overall disappointed in the loss, but it just feels a lot better than it did last year. I don't know what you guys think about that.
I agree. Yeah, it looked like they could keep up, right? A couple of breaks and a couple of fewer mistakes. And they're there.
And they were up at one point in this game. Remember that, right? So, they definitely kept up. It just, they didn't have enough gas there to finish it off.
Championship teams do that, right?
Exactly.
Late in the game when it needs to be decided, that's what they do. And, the Rough Riders did it last week, basically, almost messed it up. But mm-hmm. they managed to close it out. This week, they had to get a little scrambly to try to keep up. But for the most part, they were even.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, Greg, thanks for the call. Yeah, I think we'll see what happens in Toronto but the and the BC, but the Riders might be up to number 3 in my power rankings this week. With
a loss?
Yeah, with a loss.
They lost to the Bombers and held their own for most of the game.
Okay.
Who are they going to see? When I do power rankings, who's going to beat who?
Yeah.
They're going to beat Calgary. They're going to beat Hamilton. They're going to beat Toronto. They're going to beat Montreal, Ottawa, and who's the other lame duck team? Edmonton. They might be the third best team right now in the Canadian Football League. Right now.
I don't doubt it because I'm already saying they're second in the West.
Wow.
1-877-332-8255. That's our first bank of callers. We're going to take a quick timeout. Darren, Chad, Keith, Paul, and one line open as Greg just hung up for you at 1-877-332-8255. This is the Green Zone post-game show on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone post-game show. 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line. Bombers beat the Riders 45-27. If you're getting a busy signal, that's because the lines are full. Thanks for your patience tonight. We'll get right back to the fan line now with Darren on the line. Darren, what are you thinking tonight watching the Riders fall to the Bombers?
I'm not sad or not disappointed at all, even though I have to deal with my retarded Bomber friends at home. But I want to start by saying Belden, when he's doing that cooking, I can smell it in my truck because I have a Traeger at home. So I have a proposition for you guys. Badger Bowl, you guys all have to come to my house. I'll pay for the cowboy steaks and the beer, and you guys can do the show after the game from my house. That's what we have to do.
Sounds good to me.
Okay? And secondly, when Belden says frick, frick, frick all the time, he sounds like that guy from the Gold Rush, that Todd guy. I want to hear the real thing, and I want to hear bleep, 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 bleep. That's a lot better. Okay, so that clears that up. Now we can talk football. Micah Johnson, I think he must be ready to kill somebody because he got tackled 6 times with no penalties, which boggles my mind. So go back and watch that, and I thought that was crazy. And then the late hits. Harris took 4 late hits and no penalties for those on those calls whatsoever, which I don't know why. And then they talked about the blocking from the rear that I didn't know you could challenge that now, but whatever. But I'm not sad with this team at all. I'm happy with what they did. I'm even going to change. I went out on a limb. I said 13 wins, and you guys all laughed at me for the season. I'm going to change that. I'm going to go up to 14 now. I'm confident.
Wow.
I love what Harris did. I'm not going to mention no other quarterback from the past, but what I saw Harris doing, and I don't think he had a, his hit pointer might have been a hangnail. because he didn't slow down at all in that game, and I loved it.
Yeah, Darren, he looked just fine.
He's a tough guy.
Yes, he did.
He took that one hit, though. There's a review, too. Review, the guy goes in, tackles him, grabs his head.
Yep.
Sure, it wasn't a dirty hit. He was aiming for his midsection, but Harris was sliding at the time. The defender goes and kind of grabs the helmet because that's what he's aiming. Not, you know, he's aiming for that part.
Yeah.
And Harris goes down. They review that and take away that penalty, too. And that's one of those hits that usually is called.
Every single call tonight seemed like it went the Bombers' way.
It did.
Yeah, it really did.
It did.
Start the conspiracy. 1-877-332-8255. Chad. So
yes,
that
sir.
Trevor Harris didn't look too bad tonight. Hey, Chad.
No, he looked good. That's well, you know my story. I come from the NFL thing and now watching the CFL. So all I've seen is a couple other quarterbacks play here. It's amazing. A guy that could throw a quick 10-yard out and on time and on in the right spot to the receiver. I think that's why there's all the optimism on the fan lines, because it's been a long time since we had a quarterback that got the ball out on time and on the money. This guy's, I don't care how old he is, this guy's 100 times better than the previous guy. And that wager I text you about there, the playdow.com had us at 7.5. Oh, easy money. I had us at 8, but losing to Edmonton, so I'm like, now we're up to 9. No, we're 11, 12 wins. That's money in the bank. I love it. This team, 18 points in every close play. We got the bad side. I'm not going to say nothing about reffing, everything. Every key, we can order 5-6 plays every game that determine the game. Winnipeg was on the right side of every close call.
Yep.
If half of them go our way, we win this game. Labor Day, then we're winning. We're beating these guys. We're beating these guys in the playoffs. This team, Riders moved the ball on this team. We're winning. We're beating these guys. I'm all in on these guys with that quarterback.
Chad, thanks for the call.
Wow.
Optimism. We got 14 wins. We got beating the Bombers in the playoffs.
Man.
They lost tonight, right?
14 wins is pretty tough. They got to win 13 of their remaining 16 games to get the 14 wins. That's a pretty tough challenge.
That is.
I can't see that one. Sorry. I'm optimistic, too.
You don't
too,
think they can go 13-3? Their only losses are the two against Winnipeg and the one in BC.
Okay.
Oh, there's two in BC.
All right. So they're going to be 100% healthy and travel and everything's going to go great for them.
Yeah. I'm with you.
You know, they impressed me tonight in a lot of ways. You're right. You know, because they're playing shorthanded in a lot of key spots. And kept pace till the end. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll get better at keeping pace right to the very end of the game. But Winnipeg's a tough one, so they look decent. But I don't know if they're a 14-win team.
1-877-332-8255 is the fan line. As these lines are filling up right when Chad hung up, it filled up. So thanks for your patience tonight. Keith, what are you thinking?
Good evening, gentlemen. So maybe I'll be the one who will rain on this parade of optimism as I'm driving back through Saskatoon through every single construction zone in the city of Regina, trailing a vehicle with Manitoba license plates. Uh-huh. Like, the football gods are against me. Gentlemen, I've got the Riders finishing 9-9. I'm not yet to ordain them to be like a second place team. I think we're comfortably in that third place spot in the West behind Winnipeg and BC, but I want to give you four quick points as I continue to navigate the construction zone that is Regina.
Good luck.
Number one, let me toss a stat at you. Coach Dickinson, Coach Craig Dickinson, was 16-3 in his first 19 home games, regular season home games, the Rider coach. We have not won a regular season home game in, get this, 343 days and counting. What a reversal of fortune for the Riders at home. Number two, Belton, you and I, we love our college football. Mm-hmm. We always talk about the SEC. What I saw tonight was the equivalent of Kentucky versus Alabama. We were the Kentucky. Winnipeg was Alabama. We held with them close for like 2.5-3 quarters, but didn't have the gas to make it through all the way.
Yep.
Number three, I love the offensive enthusiasm. I love the defensive pressure. Samuel Emelis scored a hat trick. But what really concerns me, gentlemen, is the injuries we suffered. We were unable to run the ball after Hickson and Awachi got hurt. plus Jaden Dolte gets hurt. Juwan Breskison gets hurt. We lost three Canadian starters, Awachi, Breskison, and Dolte. And to me, that's what's really concerning as we look forward to the next couple of games, which also are against Western teams. I'll finish with a fourth point. Everybody's talking about the key plays of the game, and I agree a lot fell in the Bombers' favor. Somebody has to tell Janarian Grant on that punt return. Could any of the nine guys who were within a fingernail's length of police a tackle would have been great? But the play that really got me was early in the second quarter. The Bombers are ahead 10-7. They're second and 20 after a penalty.
Yeah, yeah.
And Dalton Schoen catches a 22-yard pass. You cannot, under any circumstances, let a team convert a second and 20 in the CFL. Again, thanks for listening to my rant. I love the team. I love where we're at right now. I think we're looking good. We're not yet there in terms of the home playoff team, but I think there's ways that we can improve. And again, I love what I saw from the offense on a very short week. But it'll be interesting to see what happens now as we deal with some of the injuries. Thank you, and go Riders.
Keith, always appreciate your time, and good luck. It might be a 4-hour trip back to Saskatoon. Two of those hours trying to get out of construction in Regina. 1-877-332-8255 here on the Fan Line. That's another line open as we go to Paul up next. Paul, what are you thinking with the Riders' loss?
Oh, they looked good. First thing I gotta give a kudos to Belton. He recommended this root beer barbecue sauce.
Oh, yeah.
That stuff is freaking amazing. Oh, is that good? Anyway, I got a question. The first offensive drive that the Riders had, okay, they were second and one. Why not put in the big boys and get the first down rather than throw? Because then they went to third and one, and the Bombers knew that that's what they were going to do. They're going to run. They have no choice. And they crushed it. What happened?
Well, Paul, second and one can be considered, some coaches love it to use it as a free play, right? Okay, we're going to convert the third and one, so let's see what we can do on a free play. Just don't make a dumb mistake and turn the ball over.
Yeah, but they didn't convert. Like, why not guarantee that first down on the second one?
Well,
that's what baffled me.
Yeah, but when on a free play, you can go deeper. You're not looking for a conservative play and those types of things. I can understand what you're saying, but most coaches on third and short are thinking they're going to get the yard. And it was under a yard. It was just stuffed. That's all. Poorly executed by the Riders. That should be automatic. You're going to get it on third and less than a yard, but those things happen, as the Edmonton Elks found out on the goal line three times last week.
Well, yeah, I realize that. But, like, I don't know, like, why not just guarantee it and then you get three more plays? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd live to see another day. I can understand that one too, Paul. Anything else?
All in all, I think the Riders looked really, really good. The offense looked great. Harris is, like, everybody's saying he is the end all. He is the big deal. He is the one. He looked great.
Yeah, big step forward by the offense from last week. That's for sure. And you know, Kevin who called earlier was worried about the injuries, and you do have to worry about them, mm-hmm. especially if Dalkey and those guys are hurt. But we're talking about three starting receivers are hurt, right? Mm-hmm. Lenius, Schaefer Baker, and Darrell Walker. And tonight, Trevor Harris played great, no doubt. But how about Bain, Emelis, and Tevin Jones, right? Three pretty pretty nice performances stepping in absence of three bona fide starters. So there might be some depth on this team too. We're going to find out because it's always tested.
Road,
yes,
right?
Of course it is. Losing Darrell Walker to me is a real hurtful thing because I thought he was going to step in and be the key player for this team going down the stretch. But they got three young, tough, fast receivers who showed their stuff tonight, and I was really impressed with them.
1-877-332-8255. We thank Paul for the call. That means that line is open. Morgan, thanks for your patience this evening. Go ahead. What do you got for us?
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
All right,
Morgan. Awesome. Belton, they're really padding your ego tonight with the old recipes, eh?
Oh, I appreciate it.
Yeah, no doubt. You got to reach out to Dave there. Dave, you're not allowed to say retard anymore.
Morgan, come on. Anyways, Matt, go ahead. You're next.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We're doing all right. What do you got?
Well, I'm sitting out here in the truck. I got in trouble for throwing my phone at the exercise mat after that punt return.
Oh, man.
Did you throw it before the review?
I'm watering some trees and venting, but I'm out on an acreage here near Quebec here. So I wanted to talk about, well, it'd been touched on, the limp-wristed, gutless calls by Dickinson tonight. Like, what are we doing going for the field goal there? That was just silly. Now, if we're talking about it on the radio, guaranteed guys on the team are talking about it when they go home tonight. Like, what's the viability of Dickinson actually making it out the season? Or, like, is there going to be a coup and we're going to take on a new head coach this year?
You're asking us what our thoughts are on it? I'm thinking it all depends on their record. They're not going to dump them based on challenges. If they're like 6-0 or 1-6, then he's out of work. If they're 6-1, he's staying till the end of the season.
And they've shown progress. To me, looks like, right.
Yeah.
You know, Trevor Harris, over 400 yards passing. Mm-hmm. The O line actually, they looked
pretty,
pretty solid. Yep. They were holding up.
Couldn't run block real
they
well.
They could not. And the defense? They got something here. We just don't know how it's gonna play out yet and anything. So, yeah, I've already said if they started the season 1-5 or 1-6, there might be some hot seats then. But right now, 1-1. They look decent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think they could beat other teams in the West for sure. Mm-hmm. They could run the table probably in the East, I think. But
Eastern teams, we haven't seen Toronto play, but the other three look very weak. So, mm-hmm. The Rough Riders have a good chance. Calgary doesn't look very strong, and that's where they're headed next week. So, to me, that's one of those other indicator games. We were thinking that these first three games before they get a bye are really going to show us what type of team the Rough Riders have. They looked strong against Edmonton. It was one of the teams we thought might be a little weaker, but maybe got stronger. So they're better than they're at the moment. They're better than Edmonton. The best team in the league is Winnipeg, undisputed. They kept pace for a while, pretty good. Calgary hasn't looked real strong. It's one of the teams the Rough Riders are going to have to beat to stay above. And I think that's another one of these great tests a lot of us are really looking forward to next week.
1-877-332-8255. That's our second bank of callers. We got another line open. Call now, 1-877-332-8255. Matt, Lauren, Brent, we'll get to you next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone postgame show. The Riders fall 45-27 to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. We'll get right back to the fan line. We're going to make this one quick.
Maybe it made you. It might have made you. Or maybe just made you.
Come on!
It's time for the play of the game.
What can be the play of the game, Darryl?
Let's see. Early third quarter? What do you think? What's the score? 30-21? No, 24-21 for Winnipeg, right?
I would love to know. The CFL stats is doing a bang-up job for us.
Yeah, once again, stats are amazing. I think it was 24-21. Anyway, let's not make the punt return by Janarian Grant, the 92-yard punt return by Janarian Grant, the play of the game. Let's make the review of the 92-yard punt return by Janarian Grant, the play of the game, because it was called back. It was a touchdown.
It was a legal block to the back,
and all the Bombers are sitting around being glum, and then a Rough Rider player was injured on the play. As a few of our callers and texters have pointed out, they gave the Bombers a little extra chance to go check the iPad. The referees come over. Michael Shea's looking at the iPad and says, let's review that. Okay. And then they reviewed apparently the entire play because the referee says, we've reviewed every block.
Yeah,
no.
There is no penalty.
Oh,
so
man.
The touchdown stands. 92-yard touchdown by Janarian Grant plus the review. That's the play of the game, Jamie.
There it is here on the Green Zone postgame show. Let's go right back to the fan line. Matt, I appreciate your patience tonight. What do you got for us after this Bombers win over the Riders?
I don't know, man. Everyone's talking about Trevor Harris like he's the second coming of Christ. But let's be honest. He's washed up. He's old. his time is done, and everyone's just smoking copium about him. Like, it's over. The Ryder season is done. I might as well just stop watching, like, altogether. Like, I don't even know what to say anymore. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers? Are you kidding me? Remember the 90s? I don't know.
Is this a comedy act? 428 yards, 3 touchdowns, he's washed. Yeah. Lauren, go ahead. What do you got?
Well, I don't know. I just about fell off my chair and didn't know where to laugh or cry in the last guy. does Dickinson get his expense credit card taken away if he throws a challenge flag? There was another guy there barking earlier about kicking the field goal. Yeah, they did kick the field goal, but Dickinson should have challenged because Jefferson was way late. Hit on Harris. Did nobody see that, or I'm just so old that I got to get a second pair of glasses?
Was that when Jefferson had his helmet off?
No. This is late in the game when they needed. They're down by 2 touchdowns and they kick a field goal. But on the play previous to the field goal, Jefferson was in on, it was an incomplete pass, but Jefferson was in on Harris, and he takes him down long after the ball was gone, and there was no uproar, there was no anything, there was certainly no challenge.
Well, I think he took him down, but he had him in the grasp already when that play happened.
No, he didn't. The ball was gone before he got to him.
Belton,
do you see that one, Belton?
I didn't see that one.
I'm trying to think back on. I'm not sure, Ron. Then there was no uproar about it. Like, I don't remember the fans losing their mind or anything on seeing that. But okay, Laura, I'll take your word
I'm
for
have
it.
To go back and watch it.
We'll watch the game back. Yeah. Maybe on Monday, I'll lose my mind on the officials for missing roughing the passer call. Brent, you're up next. What do you got?
Hey guys, how's it going tonight?
We're having an okay time.
Excellent. You know, I've been a Ryder fan for a long time, and the one thing I've been watching for this year was discipline. That's what I saw. In the last 2 games, they're playing without a lot of flags. That makes exciting football. That's what I want to see. What about you guys?
Well, Brent, it still says 6 penalties for 30 yards.
No, they can't be.
There might have been 6 penalties, but it was for more than 30 yards because a lot of them were pass interference. So the penalties they took tonight were questionable. They weren't loss of composure penalties, yeah. Right? Those, and some of them were very chintzy calls. And I'm not usually one to pick on the referees.
There wasn't a roughing. Nope. Penalty, no. Undisciplined stuff.
They have a holding call.
There was offsides on the goal line, yeah. Right? I couldn't believe that one, but
too many men in the huddle. One play that was a stupid one, but you're right. They're way more disciplined than they have been, and that's what they've tried to do. So you make a good point that they've been better. It started the second preseason game. The first one they were pretty silly, but the second one. It seemed like there's been a bit of a transition, and they're not giving up a full football field worth of penalties anymore. Well, maybe tonight they did. We don't have all the yardage, and there were some costly penalties. That one in the end zone is the one that bothered. I know everybody's saying, why didn't he review that one, the one pass interference? But maybe that was. But that one in the end zone certainly, to me, wasn't a – that was a very cheap call.
Soft call.
Yes.
Very soft.
And we were told – Darren Hackwood told us, the Vice President of Officiating, said that they're going to make sure that these calls hit the standard. If they don't hit the standard, he said, we would rather not call them. And I don't think they went that way tonight. I respect Darren Hackwood, and they've done a much better job of that, and I think that's a great philosophy. But tonight, I don't think those penalties reached the standard that they want those pass interference penalties to reach before you flag them.
Okay, I figured out why it says 6 for 30 yards. In the official game book, both pass interference penalties, they have a 0 yards.
Ah, okay.
So add those ones in, it's okay, probably into the...
They have the play? You can figure out how far the play went.
I'm not going to look that far into it.
We'll get some of our callers. We'll check that one out.
1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone, a post-game show. James, you're up next. What do you got for us?
Well, I think overall it was a competitive game. It was highly spirited, and, you know, it gives me hope. You know, we're not going to win them all, and that's fine, but at least I see the building blocks for what I want. And if there is areas of improvement, it's not necessarily from gameplay. It's more so coaching decisions, right? I still have a little funk in the air by Dickerson and some of the decisions that come from his kind of being, I think. So that being said, I agree full-heartedly that some of the penalties that we had throughout the night were like questionable. If that's the standard, then that's the standard, and you know we're going to be the take the fun out of football league. But it was a tough fight, right? Winnipeg is a very good team, you know, and I think by and large there's areas that we can improve upon. And, boy, the defensive coordinator, that brim on that hat is the straightest thing I've ever seen. Somebody's going to have to get that thing and put a Pilsner curve on it.
Pilsner curve. What's a Pilsner curve?
A Pilsner curve. Oh, that's like the hard beat. Oh, okay. Like, that's right. Like the...
Real sharp.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Anyways, on that note, yeah, by and large, you know, I thought it was good. We got things to be happy with, right? And I will also bear note that in the last week with the Montreal game, Cody got sacked 6 times. But not that I'm, you know, holding a grudge or anything. So y'all have a good night and enjoy.
James, thank you so much for the call tonight here on the fan line at 1-877-332-8255. We're going to take a quick timeout. We still have a lot of audio coming back from Mosaic Stadium we haven't even gotten to yet. Let's hear from quarterback Trevor Harris coming up. Belton Johnson's Beasts and Beef, Game Warriors, Unsung Heroes. But, of course, we are home of the fans, so the fan line is open at 1-877-332-8255. Give us a call right now on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie Nye, Darrell Davis, Belton Johnson. It's the Green Zone post-game show after the Riders fall to the Bombers. 45-27 is the final. Before we hear from Trevor Harris, let's go back to the fan line, and Brian joins us from Nanaimo, British Columbia. Brian, what are you thinking tonight?
Well, I think everything's been a huge improvement over last year, so things are going to be looking on the up. Couple errors. Like the special teams, I'm sure there's going to be hell to pay on Monday for them. But overall, it was a great game. We get together here, a bunch of us, and watch it together. So it's the O-line, I think, has really stepped up. The great signings in the offseason. Like, it's absolutely impressive. It's going to be a great season for us.
Yep, Brian. Something else? Sorry, Brian.
I was just going to say, overall, I think once we get our receivers back and everything, it's going to be a different look, too, for everybody.
Yeah, those guys are gone. Schaefer, Baker, and Walker are gone for a little while, which is unfortunate. But I keep saying those three young guys stepped in tonight and did a great job. So having those receivers back would be okay. But I'm pretty happy with the performances turned in by Emelis,
Jones.
And Bain Jr., right? They're good, tough, man. Tough kids and good hands and fast. So that's not the loss. The Nick Marshall loss wasn't even as noticeable as we thought tonight. Winnipeg's just a solid team. And you're right, holding the Rough Riders up to that candle, that's not a bad comparison. They're pretty decent, aren't they?
Ooh, the Bombers?
The Riders. Well, Bombers, they're the best team in the league.
I'm impressed right now where they're at.
They lost by 18. How come we're so impressed, though?
Well, it's just I think if you take away a couple big plays, right, they're right there. They were right there in the game. Mm-hmm. And it looked like the air kind of went out a bit when
the punt return,
I think it was more the pass interference that he didn't challenge.
Yeah, that might
he didn't challenge that. Then they go down, they score a touchdown. It was like game, set, match right there.
Yeah.
And then he didn't go for it on the 3rd and 14. So when they were down by 14 on the 3rd and 11.
He told Britton, you saw that? He told Britton Gray, Craig Dickinson said, I thought that if we kicked it right there, we'd quick stop and have a chance to win the game.
Yeah, because you've been really stopping the Bombers in that second half.
In hindsight, he said he probably should have done a different thing.
See, I know. In hindsight, stop it. Stop it. No, we can't coach on hindsight. Mm-hmm. You can't coach on hindsight. If you're coaching on hindsight,
it's too late.
You're making the wrong decisions.
And he knows that we're all here to second guess him. That's what our job is, right? To say, wait a minute, you should have done this. But we're... The good thing is, most of the time, Belton, we're yelling it ahead of time, right? Yeah, last week, the field goal, we yelled, kick the field goal, right?
And well, Jamie today. You guys were wrong.
We're still
today,
right, Jamie.
Yeah. You heard me say it.
Yeah.
I think we're
driving back.
Yeah. Daryl watches the game while I drive him back to the studio.
And I don't show, we sat beside a cop at the stoplight. I couldn't show him his little video. So.
So we were coming up the stairs, and I'm like, what? Go. You got to go for it.
Yep.
It's like, and as Lothar comes on, I'm like, why are you doing, like, right in that moment, I already know the math.
Yeah.
You're going to be down by two possessions. If you miss, you're still down by two possessions. Like, if you don't get the touchdown, you're still down by two possessions. Mm-hmm. It is a possession game as much as it's, oh, we're only down by 11 or 14. Yeah. It makes no difference. It's two possessions.
Yep.
Dallas, how's it going?
Uh-oh.
What do you mean, do you say uh-oh whenever Dallas calls?
Yeah, you guys always expect the worst when it comes to my call.
No. The best. We're expecting the best.
But no, you guys already talked about it. It's a good time that I called here. You guys already talked about doing the math. And yeah, this is, like, I talked about Craig Dickinson's ineptitude sometimes here, and I know that's a harsh word to use. But yeah, you do the math, like, just go for it. Like, I don't understand Craig Dickinson's mentality a lot of the time. And that's what I'm saying. We talked about the emotion, like how the Riders, when they're on a, like, winning, they're doing great. But then when they're not doing so great, it's like their momentum deflates and their emotions, basically they're fighting their emotions and whoever they're competing against. And I felt that when Craig didn't go for that, like he chose to go for the field goal, the momentum kind of shifted, and the team, it's almost like he kind of semi-lost for this game. The team lost confidence in the coach, and I know that's a little bit too early to say on the second game of the season, but this is what's going to really cost us, I feel, is Craig needs to put some more faith. Just go for a chance. When you do the math, if you lose it, it is what it is, right? Mm-hmm. But that, to me, really bothers me, and that's been my complaint about Craig for how many times? Like, in the last, what, three seasons in particular? Even COVID was a wash, but I've complained about that. So that's something I would like to see fixed. Going to the referees, I will say, I mean, now in a game, I could be wrong, there was, how many times have you seen a flag thrown? It's happened before, don't get me wrong, but two in this game in particular, and then what was it, the head official says, oh, actually, there wasn't a flag on the play? Like, they were completely off today, and you guys talked about a quality standard for the referees. I'm not saying or insinuating the refs cost us the game here, but they really need to get their you know what together, because that's brutal. Like, that's absolutely terrible, and there was some really questionable officiating calls. I think that's been said and stated. So other than that, like, yeah, I'm impressed with the team, kind of echoing the sentiment that other people have said. Trevor Harris is an amazing person, not only in just attitude, but what he does on the field to me is miraculous. And I can't wait till we get our other weapons back in the receiving core to see how we go. Just really quickly, two small little points. I found the defense kind of deflated late in the fourth. Well, let's go maybe even at the fourth too, which I understand they were working pretty hard. There was that missed punt return from Winnipeg, like when their Winnipeg went and took it for a touchdown. I felt the defense could have, or, you know, they're the special teams, whatever, could have done a little bit more to make sure that he could have been tackled instead of getting a punt return. That's the only key point. And the other thing, Belton, I want to give you a shout out. I feel that, you know what, we'll turn a negative from earlier into a positive. Daryl and Jamie, you both are awesome, but Belton, I want to let you know you have a ton of support. You don't, like, I know you're kind of more of a quiet guy sometimes. I want to say your input is so greatly appreciated. You are a wonderful addition to the team along with the other two gentlemen on this panel. And I just want to say, man, not only is your cooking tips amazing, but your football analysis and what you bring to the table is so much appreciated. So don't worry about the trolls and focus on the myriad of support you have because you're awesome, man. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Have yourself a great
night. Thanks,
Dallas.
Thanks, you're, Dallas. Right. You're right about Belton.
Are you getting trolled?
I don't know.
Okay. I'm gonna hurt some people if the people trolling Belton.
Yeah, well, Belton can look after himself in that regard. Yeah,
I'm good.
I don't see anybody trolling.
I'm like a duck; it just rolls off my back, right? Let's keep moving.
Right. You're getting lots. You got people going over to Prairie Meats getting a barbecue, the root beer barbecue sauce. Yeah, sausage. I know. People are talking about it. Everybody's remembering.
I gotta go get some more of that, man.
Drinking right out of the container.
I'm telling you.
Dallas made a good point about
what is that. The Guy Fieri? Is it the Guy Fieri barbecue or root beer barbecue
sauce? Man, thinking about making
now we're solving. Let's start cooking again, guys. It's not midnight barbecue.
Well, that Bombers offense was cooking tonight, especially in the red zone. We're going to hear from Trevor Harris. I promise. Coming up next, unless. Of course, the fans rule here at 1-877-332-8255. Plus, Belton Johnson's Beast and Beef, Game Warriors, Unsung Heroes, and more on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.